from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, let's dig into the Texans from this weekend. What do we like? What needs improvement? There's a little of both for sure coming out of the 28-10 win over the New York Giants. I'm going to start with C.J. Stroud. He's the most important player on this team. Seth, I thought obviously the red zone things bogged down. I didn't really like the play calls down in the red zone. I'm not a big fan of fades to the back corner of the end zone.
Yeah, I know.
Low some percentage
of it,
throws.
I know D'Amico says you don't treat this any differently than a regular season game. I don't know if some of this is just trying things out,
yeah.
You know. But part of the problem is that when you get down in the red zone and your only successful run play is a Stephon Diggs end around, then you got issues in the red zone.
You do.
You wasted two downs in the red zone on run plays that didn't go anywhere.
Sure.
So that's where right now I Joe Mixon's not going to fix everything. The run blocking is not great. It's just there's too many. There's at least one bad block on every run play with the starters.
Yeah.
The run game was great, except for the guys that are going to be starting
be
in the regular season.
Yeah.
It was great as the game went along.
Second quarter on, it was outstanding.
Yeah.
And the thing that the counterpoint somebody might make to what you're saying specifically about Saturday is, well, Laremy Tunsil wasn't out there. Well, Laremy Tunsil's not a road grader in the run game. He's a grudging run blocker who's an elite pass blocker.
Right.
You know? But overall, if I'm just watching CJ's throw, forget about the end result down in the red zone. Like, CJ was 7 of 10 for 88 yards, and CJ, he's ready. He's ready for week one. I thought the two most impressive throws, actually, to me, were the one that didn't count to Tank Dell because of the holding penalty on Brevin Jordan. And then the throw from the end zone where they were backed up on their own 1 yard line to Dalton Schultz to get them out of trouble.
Stroud calls for the ball in his end zone, looking, scanning the field, throwing over the middle, and caught by Schultz at the 20, dives forward 25 down at the 28 yard line. Dalton Schultz wide open in the middle of the field, Pinnock with the stop.
Yeah, so that, I mean, he was wide open. It was a pitch and catch to Dalton Schultz. But that was one of those things, Seth, because that was right after Stingley's interception. And I know it's a preseason game, but if it were a real game and everybody's super invested in how are we going to win this thing and the game script and everything, the Giants would be rationalizing that interception. Like, all right, well, I guess it functions like a punt. We do have him pinned down on the 1 yard line. And then CJ just drops back in empty and like, boop,
yeah.
Dalton Schultz, 26 yards.
Yeah, yeah, that. The part of what they're going to be able to do in the passing game when you have reliable guys like Dalton Schultz, when you have Joe Mixon out of the backfield, but then you also have those three wide receivers, That could be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That could be a lot of fun. They've got to be able to run the ball and take advantage of those opportunities. You know, this will be a team where the pass sets up the run. You don't have to run the ball. I mean, they got to get their run attempts to set up the play action. I mean, the throw to the boot to Dalton Schultz, that's set up by zone run play action. So they've got to establish that at some point, so you're just not burning those downs.
Yeah.
So then it becomes, okay, we're going to play action on 2nd and 6 instead of 2nd and 10. It's a whole lot easier. That's a more successful and lethal play.
Yes.
When you're in that field position. They're putting CJ into too many gotta have it situations, no matter how good you are.
Yeah. And fortunately, he's really good at him, but you can't be putting him in that situation. All right. More stock up. Great game for John Metchie.
1st and goal. Keenum steps out to the right, throws right side, goal line, caught, touchdown, John Metchie! Yes! 3 catches on the scoring drive for the Texans to retake the lead.
Yeah, 3 catches on the drive, including the touchdown. Here was D'Amico Ryans on John Metchie.
For Metchie, I think he did a really, really nice job today, just catching the football, making some big-time plays for us, and it's exciting to see Metchie make those plays. I think nobody's more fired up than all of his teammates. You see the other receivers and to see their genuine excitement for him when he makes those plays. And just the entire team as a whole, you know, is pulling for him to do well. And he did a really nice job today. And that's why I think you play the preseason games. That's why you have training camp practices, is to see guys continue to grow, get better, and shine when the opportunity comes. And Metchie had a really nice day today.
Yeah, just him being able to catch the ball, that's the most obvious thing, that he's had a lot of drops, and he was sure-handed in that game. They had one play where he kind of double-tapped it a little bit.
Yeah, he double-caught it, yeah.
Some of that, I think, can also come from also being just feeling more comfortable and integrated into the offense. The first catch he made from Case was a little bit behind him.
Yeah.
You know, and he caught it in stride and kept going. The touchdown was obviously just a great catch. Great throw, great catch. So I think with Metchie, I think they've seen the upside. We saw that athletically he's moving a little bit differently. And the big question has always been, all right, well, how do we judge this guy who just had a 2-year battle with cancer and was never physically quite right? There's a whole lot. It's not like you just recover and then there you go and you're off to the races. So I think they probably were just waiting for a moment like that on Saturday.
Yep.
And it's some tough decisions they have to make in the wide receiver room.
I think unless Metchie gets traded, he's making this team. And if you think I'm just being Johnny come lately because he had 6 catches, I did a 53-man roster on the Houston Press on Thursday of last week before the Giants game. And I had Metchie making the team, and I think it's simple. I think of the guys that are at the back end of this wide receiver depth chart, he's the least likely one to clear waivers to bring back on the practice squad. Mm-hmm. Like, I think there's a better chance Xavier Hutchinson, even though he's had a better camp than John Metchie, there's a better chance he clears waivers, or that Skoranek clears waivers, or, like, if Woods got cut, he'd be a free agent because he's a veteran. Waivers are for the younger guys, but I think Metchie would get picked up pretty quickly, actually.
Yeah, I think because of the upside there, too.
Yeah,
and I think the Texans are looking at him like that, almost like a rookie, where, okay, because of his cancer ordeal, this is the first real look we're getting at him. Let's evaluate him like he's a rookie. Let's see what the upside is, and I think they probably still feel there's untapped upside with him. With Skoranek, you get into the question of, all right, well, how many guys are we going to keep around just because they're good on special teams? And Skoranek's been really good as a receiver when he's targeted. Like, he's hauled in some hard-to-catch passes and what have you. But this is also a guy that the Rams were willing to let go of for just about nothing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So in a really deep wide receiver room where you might already be carrying a 4th running back in Ogunbowale because he's a good special teamer, I wonder how that all shakes out.
He's missed a lot of practice now too, Skoranek. He's been hurt for a couple of weeks, you know, and I think Noah Brown too, man, in this wide, as long as we're talking about the wide receiver room, I see a lot of people just like as a given that Noah Brown's making the team. Like, Noah Brown's missed like 2 weeks of practice now, and his problem last year was staying healthy. When he was on the field, he was a valuable weapon, particularly valuable in the Bengals and the Bucks games back to back. But I mean, you got to be available, you know. And like he ain't Stephon Diggs, where he misses 2 or 3 weeks, and Diggs hasn't missed anything. But I'm just using that as a name, as a hypothetical. Like, I don't know, man. Like, everybody's got Noah Brown in ink on their 53-man mock roster. I'm not so sure. Jalen Petrie was awesome on Saturday, highlighted by this.
Jones fakes the give on 2nd and 8. Pumps, and he's going to be sacked. No, he gets rid of it last moment. It's picked off for a touchdown.
There's your
Jalen
guy.
Jalen Petrie to the end zone. Pick 6, short range.
Okay, now this is where it starts to get really exciting defensively, Seth, is I think we know what we're getting along the defensive line with all those guys to varying degrees. The linebacking core is not deep right now. And if Christian Harris can get healthy, I think you feel really good about the top two linebackers on this team. And they're going to be in nickel quite a bit with Petrie playing his role. I think Derek Stingley Jr., Kamari Lassiter had a good game on Saturday. If Petrie is what they drafted him to be, a playmaker like he was when he was the Big 12 Player of the Year in this type of role, this is a real game changer for this.
Yeah,
defense.
If you just think of him as a linebacker. He's your nickel linebacker. And on base, he's playing safety. So he's a hybrid safety slash linebacker, not a safety slash cornerback. And I think that's the perfect role for him. So there's two things. One is I think they've figured out exactly how to use his talents and abilities. And then he's also improved his technique, his tackling technique especially. Is night and day from what it was the last couple years. He's not flying in there out of control anymore, except the one situation where it was acceptable last week on that inside trap versus the Steelers.
Yeah.
It was okay for him to fly in there because that's what the situation demanded.
Yeah.
He was an add-on. I think he might have hit Fatakasi harder than the running back, but still.
Yeah.
Even that play in the backfield that looks like it should be dead to rights, he settled down. He got his arms out wide to wrap up. That play out in the flats, he settled down, wrapped up, didn't go for the ball until after he had the tackle secured and pushing the ball carrier out of bounds. That's stuff that we didn't really see out of him the last couple of years. So, yes, it's just the preseason, but the fundamentals showed up in a way that we hadn't seen from him before.
Yeah, it was good to see. It was really good to see. All right, so let's get to the running.
And you know what? Yeah, even on the interception, too. Like, okay, obviously that was an idiotic play by Daniel Jones, and the ball was right there. Look, the intended receiver was just sitting there with his thumb up his butt.
Yeah.
Just, he was a spectator. Like, oh, wow, I can't believe Daniel's doing this.
Yeah.
Whereas Jalen Petrie was dialed in and made the play. When if the receiver had been on his crap, he would have had it been a better position than Jalen Petrie to make that catch.
At least knock it down and make sure Petrie doesn't.
Yeah, try to make a play on the ball.
Yeah.
He's playing trail coverage in that situation.
Exactly
what the hell?
Right. Receiver's like, who's Daniel throwing it to? Why did he just throw it to Petrie? That's silly.
He looked like a lazy basketball defender.
He did.
All you had to do was stay in front of the guy, man.
All-star
all you had to do
game,
was stay in front of the guy.
NBA All-Star Game level defense by that wide receiver. All right, so we're doing stock up, stock down. We're going to do acknowledge me here in about 5 or 10 minutes. This is the running back room is kind of a tale of two stories here. Let's start with the up, which is Cam Akers.
And here's a gift to Akers, starting left, cutting right, has a little room, breaks another tackle, 40, 35, and ridden down at the 32-yard line. Welcome to Houston, Cam Akers.
Okay, so this is a bit of a combo story here, because you got a little stock up with Cam Akers, who, if he made this team and was a contributor, would be a phenomenal story. We had him on the postgame show. He was great. And then Damian Pierce, where it's bad right now. There's no other way to put it. 8 carries... 9 yards. And I think, Seth, these are the two guys, Cam Akers and Damian Pierce, that are really battling it out for the spot behind Joe Mixon on this team.
I wonder, though, too, how much of that is even... It's kind of like when you talk about who's WR1, who's WR2. I think it's going to be situation-based. I think that there might be times, depending on how they feel about Damian Pierce, where they feel like he's better in that situation than Cam Akers. But... Look, the run blocking has not been good. There's just too many. Like, I've been trying to be optimistic, I guess. Even this morning, I was kind of mulling it over in my head. There's just too many instances where at least one guy has an egregiously bad play.
Yeah.
And that makes it a lot harder. But the way I would simply put it is that the run blocking has not been good, but Damian hasn't shown any ability to create when the run blocking's not good.
Right.
The 1 yard per carry is a theme now. I mean, going back to last year, where if things aren't just right, then the play's dead in the water. Cam Akers, you saw in that one cutback, yes, it was the zone blocking that created the cutback, but he didn't have his original options.
Play was run to the left.
Create,
yeah.
Right. It wasn't just the easy cutback lane.
Right.
So like Damian doesn't break tackles anymore.
Right.
You know, he's just not the same physical specimen he was his first year. I swear it. I think some of it might be as simple as this: whatever his body weight was his rookie year, that was working for him. Being sleeker and everything, all that is great. It's just, look, I've seen defensive linemen experiment this sometimes. We're like, oh yeah, I'm going to be a penetrating pass rusher, and then they get beat down because they're not as strong as they were before, but they're not fast enough to be that penetrating pass rusher. And I think likewise with Damian, it might be as simple as that. Like, get back to breaking tackles. Get back to whatever body weight works for you.
Does this team have time to wait around, though, is my question.
Right.
And Clint brought this up in the postgame, and it's a good point, which is this is a team that needs to fix its running game overall right now.
Yeah.
They're not a good running football. They're a good offense when they're throwing the football. They can't run the football at the level they need to go win a Super Bowl, and you're burning daylight with carries for a guy who – as of right now, it really looks like it's just not clicking and it's in his head at this point, you know?
It's also, that's where it gets so complicated and it's bad for social media and everything else like that. I'm not excusing the run blocking. They've got to get better at that. They've shown progress in some regards, but it's also just, it never feels like Damian quite has the vision for it. It's like looking at one of those hologram posters where you try to see the hidden.
That. Right. I'm Pierce when
I feel like some people
thing.
Just can't do that.
Yeah, it's
whereas
me.
Like Arian Foster in this analogy would look at it and wouldn't even have to unfocus his eyes or anything.
Be building shooting out of it.
Yeah, you're like, oh yeah, that's an M.C. Escher.
Right.
Or whatever.
Right. And I'd be sitting there going, it's a bunch of triangles. What are you talking about?
It's a seagull, you colored.
So issues at running back. Well, issues with Damian Pierce. And here's the other thing for Damian. Kind of like Mechie last week. Remember what we were saying about Mechie last week after the Steeler game? Every other wide receiver, literally on that depth chart, had made a play in a game after that Steeler game. Whether it was the Hall of Fame game or whether it was a Steeler game. I feel like every other running back on the depth chart, other than Joe Mixon, obviously, didn't play, all made plays in that Giants win. Like, Jawar Jordan had 4 catches for 42 yards.
Yeah.
British Brooks had 2 touchdowns. We just played a play. Cam Akers had 6 carries for 29 yards, almost 5 yards a carry. J.J. Taylor had a big run up the sideline that number 94 caught him on.
That was weird. Good for 94.
94 is going to get some props in film for that play.
That's where it gets tough. And it's almost like, okay, British Brooks, I can see as a guy that, man, when you need 2 yards, he can get you those 2 yards. Cam Akers, I look at, is like, okay, well, I don't know about him being the 2-yard guy, but he can be the guy that's going to open things up and hit a 15 or a 20-yarder.
Or catch the ball on third down.
But like Damian Pierce, I want him to be the guy that's going to get you steadily 4 or 5 yards, and I just I don't have the guy that's going to steadily get me 4 or 5 yards in Damian Pierce right now.
And yet he's still the guy you want at every party because he's awesome.
I think that's the hardest thing about it, is that he... like, he's exactly the type of guy that you want on a football team.
Exactly.
It's really, really hard and painful.
Yeah.
And it's not completely his fault that he's not having any success at all, but he's not creating above and beyond the X's and O's right now. Like, Derrick Henry ran behind the worst offensive line of the decade last year, and he had 4.3 yards per carry.
Yeah, he's second in the league in rushing.
You know, it's like the good running backs make something out of nothing.
Yep.
Good running backs will get at least 3 yards per carry behind a bad offensive line.
Were you surprised how sloppy it was for the Texans in the first quarter and two minutes of that game on Saturday?
Part of the problem is that they love to use a fullback, but they're trying out 17 different players at fullback, I think.
Yeah.
How many snaps has Beck even taken this preseason?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I think
he's
Harrison,
missed a lot of practice.
There's some promise there, but when you've got these tight ends in there playing fullback who are also, they're blocking the way Damian Pierce is running. They're kind of like, I don't know, I guess so. I'm just going to do it. They're all, so sometimes the tight end / fullbacks are, they're leaning into their blocks the way that Daniel Jones kind of stumbled into whatever that slide was or whatever it was short of the sticks. There's no swag to him.
No.
There's no
swag.
Yeah.
Fullback swag. How about Blake Fisher's false start on the first play from scrimmage? I thought that was an homage to Laramie Tunsil. I thought he was doing that because
you got to wait for a critical situation before
true.
You do it.
The rookie will learn, but he did it as the very first play from scrimmage. I was expecting him to turn around, look over at the bench and like do the tap on the chest and point at Laramie thing. Like, that was for you.
That was
7-8. That was for you.
That was his tribute to Pedro Leon. I think it was, like come in, get your first base hit, but then get thrown out at second on that on your very first base hit.
Getting your feet wet. They had a hold on a third and goal from the six. Shaq Mason got offset by a Giants passer. They had too many men on the field at one point.
Yeah, that was sloppy.
The delay. They had a delay of game on a punt. Not the kind that you do when you're at the other team's 38-yard line and you're trying to get more room. They were at their own 32. And they got a delay a game on a punt. They had a neutral zone infraction on a third and two. This is all in the first 17 minutes of the game.
Mm-hmm.
It was super sloppy. So there was a...
It was annoying me is what it was doing.
It was annoying me. It was slowing the game down is what it was doing.
Coach, I'd be angered. But as somebody that had just been doing a show out in the 90 to whatever degree heat for 3 hours, I was like, all right, this is... like I'm not sitting here in my own filth for this crap.
Step your game up, Texans.
What the hell?
My God. We're getting acknowledgement on the text page about this, about the working conditions. Okay, Sean and Seth, y'all are being subjected to cruel and unusual work conditions. I walked by you guys at 10:45 a.m. on Saturday morning, and you were baking, all caps. No shade, straight heat. That's ridiculous. Come on, KILT, buy a tent or some misters or something.
We have a fan behind us that blows 90-degree air at us. I don't know. I have a hard time ever whining about it because I know that like we have a lot of listeners who work all day out in the heat.
Yeah, I'm just reading the text. I'm not whining about it.
Yeah.
I'm just reading the text. Although I will acknowledge the two of us for doing that.
Acknowledge me.
It's basically a feat unknown to
just
rarely found in life.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Standing for 2 hours and 50 minutes.
It's gotten better because of the two big coolers back there, and we have unlimited supply of water and Gatorade, too. That's
well, it's not Gatorade, but it's a sports drink. It's a sports drink.
Oh, they had Gatorade in there on Saturday.
Not that I saw. Thanks a lot for
towards
sucking
the
it
end.
All down before.
All right. It might have only been two of them.
Are you sure it was a Gatorade?
I had a Gatorade on Saturday.
All right, I had some weird tasting non-Gatorade concoction.
All right, okay. Well, now I take it all back. The game does need to be stepped up for us out there. No, it was good. It was fun. It was fun seeing everybody, too. We appreciate everybody coming by and saying hello. It's a lot more fun when the team is good. I will say that.
Mm-hmm.
The team is good. It is...
The Giants, if I were a Giants fan, I'd be PO'd right now. Just because you spent all that money in free agency. Your GM has been on television saying the reason for spending all that money in free agency was to do what? Not to win, but to find out what we have in our atrocious quarterback.
Yeah, you know what you have.
And then you've got this guy who's your atrocious quarterback.
Yeah.
And your GM, like your GM's sole purpose of this offseason was, hey, let's find out if this atrocious quarterback is any good.
Yeah, that's going to be a bad team, man. 6.5 is their win total. Under, right? Got to be under 6.5. That's a bad football team. They have a good defensive line, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. So we'll see. Devin Singletary is their feature running back. Last time he was a feature running back for a team, that team made the playoffs and won a playoff game.
Hey, Singletary did the namaste in the end zone, and it angered me. I feel like that should be reserved only for
a Texan.
If you're doing it in an NRG stadium, that's an Arian a nod to Arian Foster.
Yeah.
When you namaste in front of the south end zone, I feel like you're spitting in their faces.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. Man, I thought we paid you more respect, Devin Singletary.
Yeah.
Motor.
Got you paid, man.
But we did.
Went from 1 year deal with the Texans to a Joe Shane joint up there. Yeah.
3 year deal with a team that doesn't know what the hell they're doing.
Oh, that my favorite part of Hard Knocks was Joe Shane talking to the owner. And saying, you know, these guys will probably be a lot of guys available in the second week. Look at last year's Devin Singletary played for $3 million. And then all the guys that he mentioned, every single guy he mentioned was gone before free agency even began.
They were gone the first day?
They were all gone by the second day of the legal tampering period.
Yeah. Like he's sprinting to the window to pay Devin Singletary.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no!
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
All right, let's do acknowledge me. We've already acknowledged ourselves. Very big of us. Acknowledge me. We acknowledge the big performances from over the weekend, big performances that move the needle around the world of sports, stuff that we saw. Let's start. I'm going to start in general with Astros pitching.
Acknowledge me.
10-1 in their last 11 games. Astros have won 10 of 11. And over that period, they as a staff have a 2.25 ERA, 114 strikeouts in those 11 games, and an opponent batting average of 167. The Astros pitching has. But let's get a little more specific. Hunter Brown.
Acknowledge me.
Was great again this weekend. Since June 1st, 10-2, 2.33 ERA. He's thrown 85 innings. He struck out 92 guys.
I'm crossing my fingers and knocking on wood as I say this, but it's so far my fears of Hunter Brown pitching as many innings as he's going to have to pitch this year were for naught. I worried about something before it even happened, and so far so good. We started to see it with Blanco.
You're going to stop worrying about it now, huh?
Well, I don't want to do that. You never want to. I want to have the appropriate amount of fear. Yeah. That's why the fingers are crossed.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Blanco was undergoing that ordeal that I feared, where as he cruised through his career high in innings, it looked like he was starting to show signs of fatigue. But that ship perhaps has been righted. And especially with Verlander coming back in.
Yeah.
And feel very, very good about the pitching staff right now.
Hunter Brown threw almost 160 innings last year.
Yeah.
Unlike Blanco. So Hunter is at least maybe slightly more built for it. But we'll see, man. He's got his ERA down. ERA, that's how bad he was in April and early May. He's been one of, if not the best pitchers in the American League since the middle of May. His ERA is still 3.82.
Yeah.
Like, which isn't bad. Like, it's, you know, that's average. You know, it's okay. You know,
kind of sucks. You know what? He's in, he's like somebody that's damaged their credit really badly.
Yeah.
And now they're doing all the right things, but it's almost like, I got to wait 7 years for this thing to clear, you know?
Yeah.
He's in that mode, so whatever, you compress it down, but he's in like year five of that bankruptcy clearing.
Bankruptcy's almost gone.
Yeah.
It's almost gone. Framber Valdez.
Acknowledge
Astro
me.
Pitching. We will acknowledge you, Framber. 10-2, like Hunter Brown, since June 1st. 2.6 ERA. 90 innings pitched. 92. I think it's 93 strikeouts there. I didn't want to cheat Framber out of that extra strikeout. He might get pissed. Big thing is, in his last 10 starts, which have all been since the Astros hit rock bottom, he was on the mound the night that they lost 2-0 to the White Sox, and they fell 10 games back. He was on the mound yesterday when they win 2-0 and they're 4 games up. So we got like a circle of life thing going on with Framber. 8-0 since that White Sox loss. Astros, more importantly, are 10-0 in those 10 starts. So he's given him a chance to win. every single time out. So for that, Framber Valdez, you are acknowledged.
I just Brandy had sent me just a little video of Framber from this morning, a moment from the game. Oh, it was the strikeout. It was a strikeout, the third strikeout at the top of the first inning when he held the pose on his follow-through.
Oh, yeah.
He just stayed up there with his leg up underneath him.
Yeah.
He's a fun watch as part of it, too.
He is.
Now, and it's weird because it used to be, much like Hunter Brown's credit repair, it used to be one of those things where it was all the wrong kinds of fun to watch because he used to just be a train wreck.
Train
but those
wreck.
Days are long in the past. So yep. Now he's just, you can appreciate all the little quirkiness of his personality.
Yep. All right. This one hits close to home. Texans sideline reporter and color analyst on the game broadcast on Saturday, John Harris.
Acknowledging me.
Johnny. And I'm going to acknowledge ND Kalu and Kevin Kugler as well.
Acknowledge me.
That's a really good booth.
Acknowledge me.
Good job, Ben.
Yeah.
That's a really good booth. The reason I'm acknowledging Johnny in particular is, let's play this. This was Stephon Diggs' only catch of the game. A 9-yard catch to convert a third down, a third and two early in the game. Here was the call.
On third and two, oh, what a strike. Fits it in perfectly, and Stephon Diggs announcing his arrival to the Houston crowd.
You know, Kevin, this Wednesday in practice, you'll see this just get inside your DB and CJ will hit you. I don't know if Josh Allen would have, but CJ will put that ball right on the number.
Okay. Ooh, so I don't know if Josh Allen would have. So there was various corners of the internet viewing that as just shots fired at Josh Allen, including Warren Sharp at Sharp Football. Good follow. If you like stats.
Sucks.
He does suck? Okay.
Yeah, he doesn't know football. He knows numbers. He loves to think he's smart, but go ahead. Yeah, he's
a good resource for numbers.
Yeah.
I like the numbers that he gives. This agitated Warren Sharp to no end.
Yeah.
He posted the video of that play and had maybe the dorkiest well actually of all time. Of course, Johnny just said, I don't know if Josh Allen would have made that throw. Warren Sharp, absolutely atrocious comment from this guy. I don't know if Josh Allen would have. Buddy, I love CJ Stroud, but passes 1 through 5 air yards last year, Josh Allen was literally the best QB in the NFL. Number one in completion percentage, number one in success rate, number two in expected points added.
Yeah.
Idiot.
Yeah, idiot.
Idiot.
Warren Sharp once had a tweet, this is when I stopped following him, where he said that he thought it was a silly rule for the that they care about whether the offensive linemen are down illegally downfield or not, because it doesn't matter. I'm like, what? Dude, like, you learned this in high school. What the hell are you talking about? It totally matters. Like, it makes it really hard for the defense to play. The further the offensive line is downfield on a screen. He's smart, but he thinks he's a little smarter than he does.
That was a throwaway comment on the local broadcast, by the way. The local broadcast is supposed to be, like, slightly homerish.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's, and I'm not saying that, that's no shade. Johnny knows, that's no shade. That, like, there is a tone on a local broadcast that there isn't on a national broadcast. The funny thing about that video, Seth, that he put up there, like, it's literally, you know, the graphics they flash to cut from slow-mo to what's going on live. It's literally like a gigantic Houston Texans logo. Like, this is the Texans broadcast.
Yeah.
And it was a throwaway comment is all it was.
Yeah.
Johnny's not here for you to be pulling out expected points added and Klondorp and blobbity blah 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 nerd. All right?
Yeah.
Now I like him as a Twitter follow, Warren Sharp, because sometimes he just posts stats.
No,
like,
he does.
We can make a topic out of
that. Yeah, he does have it. He's a classic. This is the problem. He's one of those guys that the problem with when people start getting bent out of shape and make it either or about analytics or football guys and everything, it's guys like him who have a sense of superiority where you can tell they don't actually work in football.
Right.
Because the actual people working in analytics and football tend to be very humble and open and want to learn from the football coaches about the way things actually work. The guys that try to do it from their internet cloud, they don't have a freaking clue.
Right.
So, yeah, that's why he annoys me.
Yep.
And it's a bad look for everybody else.
Yeah. Dragging everybody down. Stay in your lane, Warren Sharp. All right, Noah Lyles, fastest man in the world. He won the 100-meter dash, got a bronze in the 200-meter dash, allegedly with COVID. Here was Tyreek Hill talking about Noah Lyles with Kay Adams last week. Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill.
Sprinter Noah Lyles. He said that Super Bowl champs should not consider themselves world champions. What do you think of that?
Noah Lyles can't say nothing after what just happened to him. You know what I'm saying? They didn't want to come out and pretend like he's sick, I feel like that's like horseradish. So for him to be, like, do that and say that we're not world champions of like our sport, says like, come on, bro, like, just speak on what you know about, you know what I'm saying? And that's track.
Would you like to race him when he gets home?
I will beat Noah Lyles.
You think so?
I will beat Noah Lyles.
Like, by a lot?
No, I wouldn't beat him by a lot, but I would beat Noah Lyles.
I'd like to see that happen.
And guess what? When I beat him, I'm going to put on a COVID mask.
Oh, God.
And let him know I mean business. Because I do mean business.
Okay, so Tyreek Hill thinks he can beat Noah Lyles. And Noah Lyles was interviewed about this over the weekend. And this is why Noah Lyles is getting acknowledged. This, as insults go, this is a pretty good one here.
What's that guy? What's the cheetah guy from football? What I can't remember his name. Where's Mark? Mark, what's the football player who thinks he's fast name?
Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, that's if you're a big enough celebrity or good enough at your craft, the I don't even know who you are insult is a very usable. Arian Foster used to use that out on the field. Yeah. When someone would talk trash to him, he would grab their shoulder pads and turn them around so he could see their last name and go, oh, okay, that's who you are.
Yeah.
You're Jones.
For Tyreek Hill is kind of,
maybe he doesn't know who he is.
Well, no, yeah. Well, that is, because sometimes you genuinely want to say you don't know who somebody is.
Who's the cheetah guy?
But you don't. Or no, when you're in a position where you genuinely don't know somebody who somebody is, yeah. It's hard to say that without it coming off
insulting,
like you're trying to insult them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So you have to use like I really don't know who that is. I'm not trying to put, but the quote becomes, I don't know who that is.
Yeah. Do you think Noah Lyles knows who Tyreek Hill is? I think he does. I think he was that.
I think there's
like
a good chance he doesn't.
I think there's a chance he doesn't.
Yeah.
I think he's probably heard so much about what he said though.
I don't know. I think we're so much in our own silos anymore that I think there are people who are incredibly famous in America right now that I am clueless about when into pop culture and everything like that. And if you're in your own silo, this is a problem, and this happens very much in with a discussion of politics and stuff. You get to the point where you can't even conceive of somebody not knowing everything you know. Okay. What the hell are you even talking about? So, yeah, I do think it's possible.
50-50. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't.
Yeah.
All right, last one. Travis Kelce.
Acknowledge me!
Okay, here's why you're going to hear why Travis Kelce is getting acknowledged in a second. If you missed it, I think even Noah Lyles saw this. Patrick Mahomes threw a pass behind the back this weekend. Not sure if you heard. Here's what it sounded like.
Mahomes keeps it, goes behind the back. Kelce's got it for the first down. How do you like that?
Well, they talked about it in practice this week, and Mahomes even talked about the fact that he said Andy wants him to do it in a game. Well, guess what? Here it is.
All right, so it was behind the back pass. Travis Kelce's kind of running through a gap in the offensive line as Mahomes is rolling right. He's kind of like going through. He's running through where it might normally be like a pitch forward to him.
Yeah.
Except Mahomes throws it behind his back to show off. Here's Mahomes explaining the play.
Long story short, Travis didn't run the route he was supposed to run, and then it was kind of a behind-the-back pass, kind of because I was mad. I was pissed off at Travis. He was supposed to run a flat route. I don't know if you can hear me on the broadcast. I'm yelling at him, and then he doesn't run it. So out of spite, I do a behind-the-back pass, but now it's going to be a highlight.
Okay, yeah. So that's Mahomes.
Who's, yeah.
That was Mahomes.
I'm just trying to figure out the logic still, though.
Yeah. Well, I know, because the one guy said they've been working on it all week, and then Mahomes
right,
is like,
out of spite, I don't understand.
I don't either. Okay. It felt like Mahomes is maybe covering up a secret or something. Who knows?
Yeah.
Here's why Kelce is getting acknowledged. Take a listen to Travis Kelce making fun of Patrick Mahomes.
It wasn't a play. No, it was a play. It was a first down. You know, he's got the voice thing. And so he kind of mumbled out the play. I couldn't hear it. I was walking up to the line. I was like trying to decipher what he was saying. Before I knew it, he snapped the ball. And and then I kind of saw him out of my peripheral run to the sideline. So I was trying to go help my guy out. By the time I looked over there, he was already in mid form, like a photo on a sports card, throwing the ball to me. So it was just, I guess, right place at the right time.
Kelce gets acknowledged for dogging Mahomes' Kermit voice.
I wonder if it's out of spite. He's probably just used the wrong word.
Maybe
because
frustration.
Frustration, I think, would probably be the one. Yeah. Hey, but even when I'm frustrated, that's what ends up happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, like you try to teach somebody a lesson, but they end up benefiting from it, and everything goes according to plan.
Do you like Travis Kelce more now than you did a few? I don't know if you ever hated Travis Kelce, but in general,
he's always annoyed me. Yeah. He doesn't get away with as much pushing off as he used to.
Yeah.
That used to be what annoyed me the most.
Football reasons you hated
him. I don't.
Him.
You know, part of it is now that Gronk's gone, yeah. I don't. He doesn't annoy me as much because it used to. People would want to have arguments about Travis Kelce and Rob Gronkowski, and. Yeah. And leave blocking completely out of it, where Travis Kelce is not a good blocker, but he has improved.
Yeah.
But like, you got to acknowledge the impact that Rob Gronkowski would have on which defenses teams had to have out on the field.
Right.
Like, Rob Gronkowski was such a huge influence in the game because he was a menacing blocker as well. So, but now that Gronk's gone, I don't worry about it as much anymore.
I've been enjoying Travis Kelce.
If Kittle were healthier, then that would be a bigger debate, I guess. But Kelsey's just flat out there more often.
Kelce, man, he's good. That's good stuff. The Mahomes in person. I wish he would have actually like talked and said words.
I think part of it though too. Okay.
Just did the mumble. He did the Kermit mumble.
I consciously checked out of a lot of the Travis Kelce paying attention to him when everything got so that got politicized. Swift. I don't even know how or why. Yeah. All I know is that people were like super furious about it outside the world of football. Yeah. I genuinely don't know why or what the reasons for it were, but usually that's what these days, whenever something starts entering the political spectrum, it's gone to me.
Yep.
I push it out. If it's something that's not like genuinely critical to things,
On the pregame show on Saturday, Nick Caserio, in his chat with John Harris, provided the most clarity we've heard on what the QB depth chart looks like for the Texans. Those of you that think there's a Mills versus Keenum thing going on, I would highly recommend you listen to the next segment. That is coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. This was interesting. On the pregame show, Texans kickoff, the network part of it, the last half hour leading up to kickoff. John Harris interviews Nick Caserio every week on the field before the game. It's like a 2 or 3 minute chat that the two of them have. And maybe this one sailed past me in other press conferences or conversations, but the clarity that Nick gave on the QB depth chart, and I feel like there was a message being sent to a trade-thirsty media and Texan fan base from last week. When Davis Mills, the coincidence, the confluence of circumstance that had J.J. McCarthy going out for the year with a knee injury, with Davis Mills missing like 3 or 4 practices, a lot of people going, oh, maybe he's being held out so he doesn't get hurt. Here was Nick Caserio on the QB depth chart heading into Saturday's game against the Giants.
Overall, it's been a good group. I mean, Davis, you know, he wasn't going to play regardless. You know, Davis is the backup quarterback, so he's not going anywhere. So between Case and Tim, probably have to make a decision on a third quarterback there. But overall, they've all had good springs. The big thing is just making good decisions, take care of the operation, get the ball out of your hand on time, understanding what they're doing the other side of the ball, and just try to move the ball down the field. Hopefully we can score some points.
Okay, so Case and Tim Boyle did that in their game, but the clarity there, like Davis is the backup quarterback and he's not going anywhere.
Right. When he was the backup quarterback last year too, right?
He
up
was.
Until they needed a backup quarterback.
Yes.
I do think that there's, when it just comes to that simple eyeball test of is he executing the offense, he checked off all the boxes that I needed to see. I think that in a one game situation where it was last year, I understand why they wanted to go with Case, but that for the same reason, you know, the next week after that Tennessee game in the Cleveland game, you can see where after more than one game as being the backup quarterback, Case's physical limitations as an aging quarterback are going to catch up to him. And that's where, look, I thought Case did really well in the preseason game, but that is where it's valid to say, right, it's versus vanilla defenses and backups and everything, where a veteran savvy quarterback can do really good things. And I think Case, I wouldn't be alarmed or panicked or think the world was ending if Case did have to start a couple of games, but I can see why they like Davis Mills better now. There's just a much different, there's a big difference physically between those two guys right now.
I agree. And I think Davis will be the backup. I do think he'll be here. You know, anytime a GM says he's not going anywhere, that could mean that there's teams that want him, and it's a, you know, you're digging your heels in trying to get more of a a bounty in return. I doubt that's the case. I think Davis Mills will be the backup. Do you think Case is the third stringer on this team?
Yeah, I do too.
I don't think.
What's his face?
Tim Boyle.
Boyle's not.
He's been better than I thought he'd be. He was atrocious for the Jets last year.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, it's against third stringers in training camp, not against starting.
I guess that would be the other thing. Some teams treat the third string quarterback like you want a Matt Hasselbeck type, you know, on into his aging years, he's just the veteran savvy guy that can be a mentor for younger players. Some want a guy that they think can be developed into a starter. I don't think that Tim Boyle is a guy that they think of as being developed into the starter. No. So I think the Texans are still going to stay with, hey, we got a quarterback we talked to Matt Schaub about this before the game. About his role in Atlanta when he was there as a backup the second time around.
Yeah.
Older guy, had been with Kyle Shanahan and knew the system. And he was a resource not for Matt Ryan necessarily, but for all the young receivers and everybody else that has questions about things. It kind of offloads the starting quarterback's coaching duties in some respects.
Yeah, a little bit. And I think that is Case. And Case, he's got history with Stephon Diggs, you know, in case this halcyon period of honeymoon that we're in with Diggs ever starts to go a little sideways.
Do you think Case can be the sun's going down guy?
A little bit,
you can kind of like coax the Hulk and be like, all right, the sun is going down.
That's exactly what
he's,
I think.
He's What's-Her-Face, the good-looking woman there that does that in the movies, Ben. Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, Scarlett Johansson, yeah.
Case can be Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That's what I always think when I see Case. I'm like, you got a Scarlett Johansson vibe to you, bro. Now, I do think, I'm with you, I think Case is the third stringer. Now, the interesting thing will be, they've got this new rule now where they can put, he'll be the emergency QB. They can put him on the practice squad and just call him up from the practice squad every week.
Right.
So that saves a spot on the roster.
It saves a spot on the roster. The only hazard there is that when he's on the practice squad, he's a free agent.
He could get yoinked.
Right. So if let's say a team like the Vikings decides after 2.5 quarters of Sam Darnold that Sam is not the one.
Good call.
Right, that they might say like, oh boy, what is there anything better than Sam Darnold out there? Case. Yeah, Case is on a practice squad somewhere.
Right. Case probably still has a townhome up in Minnesota, you know.
Hunting season's coming up.
Yeah.
You know, he could be there.
Big
right
outdoorsman.
Around.
Yeah.
That's what they would do for Case. Instead of bringing him into the stadium and showing a highlight reel of himself or something, they would just pick him up from the airport and drop him off in the woods.
Yeah.
You remember this? Look at all these cornfields these deer are eating off.
He got re-signed to the Texans while he was sitting in a deer lease.
Right.
He's up in a tree and he gets a call from Bill O'Brien. Hey, can you come in and play week 16 and 17 for us?
Those corn-fed bucks up there, man. Ooh. Giants.
2-0, by the way, in those two starts. You pull Case out of a deer lease, he wins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he wins. Text message, I like Simone Biles' husband. That would be Jonathan Owens, saying he didn't know who she was before the first date. Not sure I believe that. I actually believe Jonathan Owens.
Yeah, because he's,
That was on the Pivot podcast,
Olympics aren't what they used to be, you know? Yeah. It's not like it's this all-encompassing, you know, when we were kids growing up and you knew all the Olympic champions, it was such a big deal. Everything's just so segmented now and partitioned where people are just, you're not aware of every celebrity.
Text message, I feel like there has to be like a dozen player wives that get mad at their husband for smiling too much during a Kay Adams interview.
She's
very charming. Well, she's supposedly, according to TMZ, dating Daniel Jones. And you said earlier that you had been hit with a bunch of people thinking that Daniel Jones got cut by the Giants because of some fake Twitter stuff.
Right.
Maybe they misconstrued it. Maybe Kay Adams dumped him. And that's what they saw.
Oh, maybe she did.
Yeah,
she watched the Texans game.
Got cut by Kay Adams.
Thanks for at least making me right in my predictions for the Texans for 1 week, but not at this cost.
Right.
I can't be dating you.
No.
The funny thing is, in that relationship, Daniel Jones would be the Yoko Ono.
Yes.
Even though he plays in the city that killed John Lennon, he would be the Yoko Ono in that instance.
As you pointed out Friday.
He's dragging her down.
Yep, indeed. Hey, that music means we're done. Handing the baton to John Harris Radio for the day. Yeah.
Good job on the call, John Harris. You and ND and Kugler are awesome.
Great job. Great job.
Very informative.
Very informative. John Harris, Mark Vandermeer. It's Texans Monday coming up next. And stay tuned all day long. The new mystery host. Unveiled at 10 a.m. today on the show.
I'll be here for him.
And it's a Texans Ticket Tuesday tomorrow.
I'm going to give him an uncomfortable hug.
Make note of that.
Hug him and hold it for a while.
That'll be 10 a.m. today. A new era begins here at Sports Radio 610.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.